Fort BWL listening.
To break, KD2BNG.
2BNG?
Yes.
Sir, how's your day going?
Okay. I'm trying to dig things out of the snow and ice. I'm trying to get this car restarted. See, here's the geniuses that are automotive engineers. The latch to the trunk is electrically operated. The battery is in the trunk. Do you see an inherent problem with this? If you were to lose battery power?
I bet those the people that made that car are the smartest people ever created.
This is a Toyota. Oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. I've had other models of this particular car that have been excellent. This one almost seems like it's cursed.
It has a green Tacoma, and it's pretty good. I'm getting it when I turn 17, so it's a pretty good truck, but there are some little kinks that they need to work out.
The 2007 Toyota Prius. And the thing about the Prius is you've got that weird hybrid drivetrain that's half electric, half internal combustion engine. Actually, you know, internal combustion engine and one or two electric motors connected to the same transaxle. So either one or both can move the car. But, you know, it's peculiar in a couple of ways that a lot of people don't understand.
That is true.
Now, let's see. This battery doesn't look like it's charging. I don't know why. I managed to run an extension cord out the window, charge up the battery for an hour, 2 or 3 hours, put the posts back on, got it started again, and actually, even with one of the terminal clamps tightened all the way up, it's still loose. So what I was trying to do was put a piece of wire around the post to thicken it up. I think that might be a big portion of the entire problem, is that one loose connection. But, you know, it's hard to work when everything is in the trunk and you can't open the trunk. And I'm no longer like Stretch Armstrong. I can't make myself into a pretzel anymore.
KB4CBA.
Hey, doing?
You need to take that terminal off the battery and loosen the nut on it and get your pair of channel locks and spread that thing out. And the battery post gets larger as it gets to the bottom of the battery, so it's just not on there far enough. That's why it's clamping down and not... it's not clamping down, and you've got it tightened all the way. So if you'll do that, you'll get your good connection. It'll probably charge.
Terminal post on the battery is slightly cone-shaped. It's thicker on the bottom than on the top. It's a truncated cone, basically.
And you should have that terminal on there where the top of the post is actually sticking out the top of that terminal, so it's just not on there far enough, and you should be able to clamp it down nice and tight, and you shouldn't be able to turn it with your hand. I've seen that so many times, just probably hundreds and hundreds of times, and it causes all kinds of electrical problems too. It can cause problems, noise in your radio. So that.
The problem it was causing was all kinds of electronics and computer problems, like the dashboard module suddenly not working. And guess what? Suddenly working again. It was at the point where I was about to pay someone $50 or so to tear apart the dash and replace the dashboard module. Yeah, nope, that ain't it. So, Yeah, the geniuses at Battery Plus are the ones who probably made that connection. I'll just take a little hammer, I'll bang it all gently, bang it all the way down, and tighten it up some more. And the other thing I was also, this is also where all my tools are, is in the trunk of the car. And I don't know if you heard me telling Hunter, you know, you have an electric latch on the trunk, which is where the battery is. From an engineering standpoint, do you see a problem with this? So naturally, I can't open the trunk. I got to curl up into a little ball and get through the rear seat.
Just the thrill of being a mechanic, you know, is, you know, you just got to do what you got to do. And do not hit that with a hammer. You'll wind up cracking your battery, and then you'll really be in a world of hurt. So just do what I said. Take it off, spread it out, and put it back on, and it'll go all the way to the bottom. You can just, you know, kind of twist it back and forth, and it'll slide all the way to the bottom, and then you can tighten it down.
The hydrogen vent out of the way. Where that terminal is, there's a vent right there. It's the vent that's venting the high voltage battery. So now I got to take that vent apart so I can get access to the side of that terminal. Because even with a short socket, with a shorter socket wrench, I can't get in there. But I wonder, I'm looking for the open crescent wrenches. Maybe I got to find one of those, or even a box wrench.
Good luck. Just don't touch any of the orange wires.
Orange wires? Okay, the high voltage wires. Yeah, I don't think they're accessible from there. I don't know where they run. They run probably to that power converter thing, but all right, I just, yeah, let me get back to work. I just thought I would, I heard Hunter on the radio, thought I'd take a break.
I decided to give you that tip there. Hey, Hunter, this is David, KB4CPA, let's see. And you're in Clemson, I see.
For OOK.
For OOK, I believe it is.
KO4OLK, I was listening to you guys' conversation. Two things. Number one, lead acid batteries don't like to be cold soaked, and that could be a source of your low voltage. If the battery's getting old and it's been seeing these 28 degrees, it may not be holding the voltage that it needs. Number two is the cars with the electronic latches in the trunk usually have a manual release, usually somewhere up around the back headrest on the back seat. If you go online on Google, you might be able to find it, save you from crawling through that little hole.
Really, not in this one.
That in there is a possibility because I've seen that before. I used to have a EV car myself, and mine, Kia, had an interior release just for that reason.
And there's actually supposed to be, believe it or not, an interior release in case someone locks you in your trunk. Or some weird scenario where you get locked in the trunk. I think, see, this was a salvage title. And what I think happened is it was a rear-end collision. So that's why the entire back bumper assembly, or that entire back panel, quarter panel assembly, is being held on with drill screws right now. Someone didn't put the clips back on properly. So that's, yeah, there should be a release. I don't know if there is, or somebody never put it back together properly. But, I mean, the trunk's open now. It'll stay open. Car's running now.
Wanted to throw my 2 cents in there in case I could help. KO4OK, clear.
CBA, KN4VWA.
What you up to?
Well, Costco ticked me off for about the last time today. And I've been over here checking out Sam's Club on Woodruff Road. I'm thinking I'm going to go ahead and move on over to Sam's Club.
Oh, yeah, well. Costco.
They want $120 to renew my membership for me and my wife. Well, and then they want to add on a premium fee so that I can get the 2% rebate on all the purchases. And then I got to be a business member before I can get that on the fuel. And that's even more. Well, I can get me and my wife for $100 and they give me the 2% rebate right off the bat. So, I never have gotten the 2% out of Costco. It's always some kind of little stupid thing that you got to do. You got to download it online and all this and that and the other. I'm just fed up with them.
Yeah, well, we never had any problems with them, so I guess we'll stay put. I don't have a card anyway. She gave the other card to my youngest daughter, so if I want something, she has to be with me to buy it, so anyway, but I don't go out there that much.
I know what you mean. Well, so what else is going on? Anything good?
Just sitting here doing a little FTA, talking about communicating with Switzerland and Barbados and Brazil. My last contact last night was Northern Ireland.
That's good. Well, listen, you need to get on there one morning, bright and early, right as the sun's coming up, and see if you can hit some J's.
I've already got several contacts in Japan.
That's good, Bo. Now, how about Taiwan and Indonesia? Have you got any of those?
Let's see. I don't think I've seen either one of those come up. I'll keep my eyes peeled. Do they hang out on any particular band or, it seems like some countries like certain bands better than others.
Well, I'm pretty sure I got the Taiwan and Indonesia in the fall on 20. It was either 20 or 17. I can't remember for sure. I have to go look. But I'll check that out and text you as to which one it was when I get home.
I'm on 17 right now. And I'm seeing, Dominican Republic and a lot of U.S. And Canadian calls.
Back at it, bud, and see if you can hit some Indonesia and Taiwan. And I'm gonna run into Skins and get me a couple of hot dogs and head back to Spartanburg. And I will talk to you in just a little bit. Later on, KN4 VWA. I'm clear.
Well, I got South Africa here and the Canary Islands too. See if I can hit one of those. 73's KB4 CBA.
VWO monitoring.
KO4 VWO, KB4 CBA. Hey, Hunter, I didn't mean to run you off a minute ago.
It is perfectly fine. I really don't care. I don't know that much about cars, so it was fine to chime in.
I'm just trying to help Glenn out, and when he said he was going to take a hammer to it, I thought, oh, my gosh. Oh, me. Well, I tell you, and people don't realize working with a battery it can be dangerous because they give off gases that are ignitable, and, one little spark, that thing can blow up in your face.
Battery blowing up in your face would not be tap at all. It'd be very painful. How much snow did y'all get?
Again, how much what?
How much snow did y'all get?
Got around 4.5-5 inches here, and I'm in Taylor's. My grandmother used to say, if the snow stays on the ground 3 days, it's waiting for some more.
I didn't get what you said. Can you say it again, please?
Grandmother used to say, if the snow stays on the ground 3 days, it's waiting for some more.
That is true. I heard you this time. Thank you.
Up to the day.
I was playing video games with my friend before, and then he had to go and eat lunch. But before that, I had to do some schoolwork. I finished all of it, so now I'm just playing video games and talking on the radio.
I'm doing a little FT8 on the 7300 here, and just trying to find some countries I haven't, contacted yet.
Using Echo Link, or what do you use?
FT8 is a digital software. It's, the software I'm using, WSJTX, and, then I've got a couple other programs open that kind of help it. My logging software is the N3FJP logging software, but it's all digital communication.
I've been wanting to get into talking to people like super far away. I got the Echo Link app on my phone, but I have to get my call sign like validated. I don't know how to use the app. I don't know if you've heard this guy. His name's Alexander. He told me about the Echo Link, and he said he uses it sometimes.
Echo Link's a lot of fun. I used to use it where we used to live in Travers Rest. We lived in Northcliff Subdivision, and I didn't have an HF radio then, and it can be a lot of fun. You can talk to people all over the place with using that software.
Right now, I'm just waiting for them to validate the call sign, like I said. So then, I want to try to call the people in space, but like it says, my call sign has not been validated for Echo Link. So I don't know what to do to make it not do that.
You just have to wait for them to get back to you. Gosh, it's been a long time since I've done any Echo Link. But anyway, I enjoy talking on this 7300 too, on the sideband, and it covers 6 meters through 80 meters, so it's a very nice radio.
I'm using the Yaesu FT70Z. It's better than the Baofeng that I was using at my house in Clemson. And the Baofeng is super hard to program, but this, you just hook up a couple cables to the laptop and program some of the ones. I think this is the most common repeater that I've been on. And I've only had my license for about a week and a couple of days, so I've really enjoyed the hobby. I've already hit, like, double-digit contacts, so it's fun.
Congratulations on getting your ticket, and, you know, you've got some white noise in there with your signal, but you're solid into the repeater, and, you know, 100% copy, so sounding good. Yeah, I've got a Baofeng, I've got the software and the cable, and once you get that, it's real easy to program it, but it's things a booger trying to do it manually. I put in a few frequencies when I first got it, but I said, man, this is crazy. I'm going to get the software.
I wanted him to program it because I didn't know how to do it. And so the keypad, this was like a couple days after my license hit the database. And so I was asking if he could program it. And he said it's super hard, and I said, well, it doesn't look that hard. I mean, there's a keypad. Wouldn't you just, like, hit the frequency and then do the offset? And he said, no, it's a lot harder. And I asked him to show me, and so he showed me one and programmed it in. And I said, I'm not even going to try that because I'm going to mess something up.
Yeah, I heard it. You can always do a factory reset. It'll put everything back. You can look that up on YouTube. But anyway, I've got the 8-watt version of the Baofeng, and I bought a little bit bigger battery for it too. So I've got two batteries. So when one goes dead, I can just pop the other one on.
I let the radio that I'm using right now, I almost let the battery die. And I remember my dad telling me, don't let the battery die, it destroys the battery.
Well, when it dies, just plug it in, charge it back up. you know, I don't know if you have a gate, if it gives you a meter on there or shows you the battery, how much battery you have left, that would be nice. The one on the Baofeng's not, I think it has one. It's really not very accurate though.
Gate that I'm using, it shows the battery, kind of like where the frequency is, but it doesn't say like the actual percent of it, so it's usually like 100%, 50%, or 25%. So I don't really know when it's about to die. I just usually, whenever I see it get low, I just plug it up and stop talking for the day.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Baofeng is one of those, download and install Chirp, which is multi-platform. It should have templates for pretty much all the Baofeng, or there's another brand that's basically the same brand. And if you have that in the serial cable, there's got 100 different radios or so it's got templates for. But that's one of the ones you don't want to try to program from the front panel. In fact, none of the Chinese radios, or, you know, or even a lot of the brand names like Yaesu or Icom. There was one Chinese brand that I have, which is like maybe the second tier Chinese brand, which you can easily program, because programming and operating are two different modes. So it's like turn the switch on with these keys held down and it goes into programming mode. So that makes it a bit easier. But yeah, don't even try to do that manually. I don't even try to do things manually with this Kenwood mobile radio. Kenwood, what is this? Kenwood TM-281. You know, get the get the software, it's easier.
I will definitely use that app. It was Chirp, right?
KIRP. I don't know if it's an acronym for anything. Think of a little tweeter bird or whatever, a little parakeet. Yeah, Chirp. There's versions for Windows, Mac OS, Linux, and he keeps adding to the number of radios that it programs. Pretty much all the Baofeng ones and a whole bunch of others. And mainstream ones like Kenwood, Yaesu, ICOM, there might be, plugins for like 100 different ones. Now, it doesn't necessarily let you set every possible feature of that radio. But, at the very least, you could get a frequency list programmed in, which is basically, you know, the most important part.
I will definitely look into that, and whenever I get home, I'll try and program that, the Beo thing that I have. This is going to be a super random question, but yesterday I heard over conversation that the net tonight is going to be at 6 or 6:30 instead of 9. Is that true?
I just couldn't tell you.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah, I'm just debating if I should just log on at 9 and see if it's a lie, or if I should just get on both times and see.
Held radio right now that you're on? Because it doesn't sound bad. Some white noise in the background.
I'm using the Yaesu FT70D right now. It's a pretty good radio. My dad got it for the family, but I've been the only one that's used it.
Okay, so I think that is a Yaesu handheld. Or am I thinking of another radio? Yeah, you know, or do what I used to do when I didn't have mobile radios or didn't want to buy one. You know, the little pigtail that goes from SMA whatever connector to PL239 connector and plug it into a regular antenna, a car antenna, or some homemade or something other, regular 2-meter antenna. Because it's not so much power that's the problem, it's, you know, proper antenna.
DWO. Yeah, so my dad is getting a better antenna for this Yaesu. So hopefully it can reach better. I want to program some farther repeaters into this. I want to hit the repeater. I forgot what repeater it is, but it's on a mountain. But it's super active. I don't remember what the repeater name is.
5.19 something. It might be the one all the way on Mount Mitchell, which is probably a good 100 miles away, but, you know, it's doable.
I think that is the one on the, but as soon as I get home, I'll start trying to program these radios to reach farther, and especially that Beo thing, I want to see if I can get it up and actually running decent.
You know, it's all antenna. You could pick up a signal from, let's say, Voyager 2, if you have the right antenna. Because obviously that's not radiating much power. So, or build yourself one of those copper tubing J-poles with half-inch copper tubing and, okay, I gotta go kill this dog. Is that the dog that was in the crawl space? But those are easy to build. Dog's been in my crawl space for days now. Anyway, let me go, and we'll probably hear you later. Oh, good little dog. Okay.
Well, have fun getting that dog out of your crawl space.
Right. She actually belongs to the people two doors down, but I don't know why she always comes over here. Those people must be mean to her. And the last time what happened is when she broke away, she took about 10 or 20 feet of the leader with her, and it got snagged. hit something down in the crawl space. And now I don't see her with a collar, so she must have eventually pulled hard enough that it lost the collar. Because she was, I thought the crawl space was, there was a demolition derby going on down there. That was her trying to get out. I was going to try to go down there later and try to get to her, but, you know, she seems like she's out now. I got to talk to these neighbors about, you know, do something about your dog. Oh, I know. You like me. I don't know why you like me.
Friendly? I don't know about those neighbors if she keeps on running over to you, though.
Bird, maybe not entirely fully grown. Yeah, two or three old German Shepherds, female. Not aggressive, just aggressively friendly. She runs over to me and jumps in my lap. So I don't know what they do to her down there. If they just neglect her or they, but, you know, Sheriff's Office has been involved on more than one occasion. I don't think you have a proper animal control department here. But Sheriff has come over twice and brought the dog back to them and said, hey, look, you know, if we got to involve animal control. So if she finally broke free, I think it's time to put some barrels in front of the crawl space so she can't get back down there. Oh, I got to nail the opening shut.
I would just nail the opening shut so then she couldn't get down, but I don't know what they would be doing to her. I mean, because the way you're describing it makes her sound like she's the sweetest dog ever.
Dog person. You know, I'm not going to say I'm afraid of them. I just, they make me slightly nervous. Oh, there she goes back down to the crawl space. Yeah, I gotta put a barrel, or maybe there's some bricks. I can pile some bricks in front of the crawl space. Yeah, I don't know what's with that dog. And why she likes me, because dogs usually can sense people either like them or don't like them or, you know, don't care one way or the other. I'm not really a dog person.
I definitely get the sheriff's department into this and see if they can get animal control out there. I mean, how many times has she been in your crawl space?
A dozen or more over the past year or two. The one time she was trapped down there, and the one sheriff lady who came over, her husband works construction and happened to be in the area, so he crawled down there and he unhooked the dog, and he brought out the dog, because, I don't know, man, I'm 59 years old. I could try to crawl down there, but it ain't going to be fun. And this is a tight crawl space. And, you know, I don't fold up like Stretch Armstrong anymore.
I definitely wouldn't try and go under there because she could get upset and try and attack you. Or maybe she just doesn't want to be out. I mean, it's super, like, is there snow under there? Because maybe she's just trying to be warm.
As I hear digging and scratching noises, and I hear wooden support beams and metal support beams and things getting smashed. Or maybe that's pieces of heating duct. I don't know what it is. My only concern is that she doesn't, tear out a water line or something. Because that's not going to be fun. If I got a water line spreading out water.
A busted water line would not be too good at all. Well, I will let you go and deal with the dog, and so I will be 73 on your call.
Yeah, my water's been off for a while. I should check to the water meter and see if it's their end or mine. But anyway, yeah, I'll let you go, 73s, and we'll hear you on the air later. It's KD2BNG.
VWO.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. The fellow you're talking to about the Bailey thing, I've got one, and I tried putting it on an external antenna, and it would not function. I put the original antenna back on it, and it did fine, and I could get into the machine. So It might have been the adapter I was using, but that's something to think about. Y'all have a good day. This is David, KF4NXY.